How are you, Buzz?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Middo. Another weekend of high drama, though, particularly for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, eh?
How does this all play out in the wake of their 34-4 loss to the Warriors on Saturday? And, not only Latrell Mitchell, the coach, everyone's under pressure, to say the least.
Yeah, they're not just the coach, you're 100% right. I think when South walked out of a Core Stadium the other night, I think the landscape has changed significantly. I think the chairman, the CEO and the board have had enough. They've resolutely stood by their coach, Jason Demetrio, through, some pretty tough circumstances, over the last 12 months. But I think that patience has run out. And as I reported yesterday afternoon with Bulldog on the Telegraph website, his days are numbered. We're saying that, he's got this Cronulla game, if they can get up, it might delay, the proceedings and a move on the coach. But look, I think it's done. They will have an internal review now. And I just want people to understand, we've only had 5 weeks of the season, and to judge a coach on 5 weeks, I think, is particularly unfair. But what the Rabbitohs are doing, they're going back to when they were leading the competition midway through last year, which was 20 games ago, and they've lost 15 of those matches. And with the roster they have at the Rabbitohs, with Latrell, with Jack White and with Cody, Damien Cork, Cullum Matangi, they've had some injury problems. They're just not aiming up. And as I said on the weekend big sports breakfast yesterday, while you can blame the players, it is the head coach's responsibility at every NRL club to ensure his football players turn up and are presented on game day ready to go. And Jason Demetrio has not been able to achieve that with his football team. Don't know what you guys think. Is it too harsh? But look, I think his time's up. I really do.
My question was this, Buzz. Does one win save him, or is the decision being made? And I think you've indicated that the decision has been made to move on, because I only have to look back last year where Adam O'Brien was in a similar situation. And all the talk was he was gone. He was gone. And then they were able to go on this magnificent run. So what happens if he wins this week, then they have the bye? Is he surviving, or do you think it'll come?
Have you seen the two games he's got after the bye, Laurie?
One's Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got Melbourne and Penrith after the bye. And look, it's almost identical situation to Adam O'Brien. And Adam O'Brien was gone last year, but with Latrell and his ill discipline, he cannot get this side to turn up. They've won 5 games of their last 20. So we're not sacking him on their lack of performance this year. Look at that premiership ladder, mate. They're down the bottom, South Sydney. This isn't the Bulldogs, West Tigers, Titans. This is South Sydney. They started the year as $11 third favourites. They're out to $34. Whatever happens, the landscape at South has changed. People who have been supporting Latrell and Cody and other high-profile players through thick and thin over a long period of time I spoke to on the weekend are no longer being soft or suggesting back off, which they have done a lot in recent years.
The obvious question from me then, if you're going to get rid of the coach, who is the replacement? And there's two that stand out. Now one is Sam Burgess, but he left in those circumstances last year and probably not ready for an NRL first grade position just yet. And the other one is Wayne Bennett. And Wayne has coached at South Sydney before. He's off contract at the end of the year. He wants to continue coaching. Is he someone that South Sydney would go back to?
I have no doubt whatsoever that Blake Solly, the South Sydney chief executive, will contact Wayne Bennett or the people around him just to sound out you know, what are his thoughts? Would he be prepared to move back to Sydney? Because Blake Solly has got to do his due diligence now. Wayne Bennett won't be the only one he'll contact. You know, Craig Bellamy's not locked in Melbourne as a coach beyond this year. Sam Burgess, I spoke to Sam in England 2 weeks ago, and I spoke to the chief executive of Warrington. He's doing a great job there, but he says Sam won't be released to come back to the club. I think they will look at absolutely every option over the next couple of weeks. They've got the bye after the Cronulla game. And, Wayne Bennett-Sam Burgess combination sounds very, very appealing to me. But, you know, and outside of the coaching, we really probably haven't spoken enough about Luttrell and his ill discipline. And I wrote an item in my column last Monday, about his ill discipline, about the Adokar tackle. And it was a dangerous tackle. It knocked the player out. The week before, it was James Tedesco. He dropped his knees onto Tedesco in the in-goal area at Allianz Stadium against the Roosters. And then he comes out with this just shocking forearm, elbow, whatever you want, to Sean Johnson. Could have broken his jaw. So where is Luttrell's career at the moment is a really, really big story. The amount he's missed 15 games through the judiciary since he's been at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. An absolute superstar of the game on his day. But I don't know where his career goes from here. I just don't know. I think, is he playing with lack of interest? Is he...
He's playing with frustration at the moment. Things that he did on the weekend. It's just not acceptable. They're dumb things to do. And for me, when I see a player of his class do that, you're going, that's frustration written all over your face.
Does Wayne Bennett change that if Wayne Bennett comes back?
I think he's got a great relationship with him. I think, Luttrell has responded to Wayne in the past. Mm. And Wayne's got a great track record with all types of players. Mm. And there's not many players that Wayne doesn't get the best out of.
Yeah, and Luttrell's got to take a little bit of self-ownership here as well. He's a very experienced NRL player now. He's done and won everything in rugby league. He, you know, Origin, and he won a title at the Roosters. But it gets to some stage where he does not require the babysitting or the cuddles from, you know. He's got to do this himself. The important thing is now that the people I spoke to over the weekend who have been cuddling him and protecting him and almost, you know, I've been abused by people at the Rabbitohs for some of the stuff I've written about him, that they're no longer, they've run out of patience. So Luttrell's out there on his own with a decision to make. The next 3 weeks, while he is suspended, is going to be particularly important that he cannot go home to his farm on Taree, which he normally does. It's Michael Ennis, I heard him say on Fox Sports, he's got to be first to training, last to leave. He's got to show there is a commitment that he can grow up. Hopefully, this is a wake-up call and a defining moment in his career.
Buzz, one team that's hit a bit of a speed hump, albeit not as bad as South Sydney, has been Parramatta the last 2 weeks. Without Mitchell Moses, there was a really poor performance against Canberra last night. Where are you seeing the Eels at the moment?
Oh, mate, they're in all sorts. And look, I had a look at their draw too, Pengers, before I came on. And mate, they've got an ugly draw. They've got the Cowboys. They've got the Dolphins, who are leading the comp. Then they've got Manly. Then they've got the Broncos. And then they've got Melbourne Storm. That is a really, really tough draw without their champion playmaker. And the halves they're using at the moment, Dylan Brown, it's just not working. I thought he was poor last night. Mind you, they were beaten 41-8, and there were others there. Again, God, it's a tough game, rugby league. Brad Arthur's been there 10 years, and there will be conversations now. Look, he missed the top eight last year, and I know we've only had 5 rounds.
Mm.
But as I've explained to you with that draw, they're in a lot of trouble. They're not entitled to get beaten in the manner in which they were in the national capital last night. And there is huge pressure on Brad and the team now. They've got no halves depth. They had to move Brown to where they're playing him now. I don't know what you think, Laurie. Is Clint Gutherson an option now to move to 5'8 with Brown and move the young kid, Blaise Tulaga, out of there? I don't know.
It might be something they'll have to have a look at, but from what I've seen in the opening couple of games without Mitch Moses, I think they've got to do something in the halves, and they're going to do something very, very quickly.
Are we too heavy, Laurie, on the coaches?
Well, I think we are. Yeah. But again, it's one of those ones where things change quite quickly in the NRL, and we've noticed it more and more in recent times. If you lose three or four in a row, then all of a sudden you're under the pump because people expect results. And
at the top clubs, they do, mate. At the top, at Power and South, they do.
Yeah. And again, I think we are harsh, but that's only me.
Yeah, I think we are too. But look, the bottom line is there is not a more demanding membership fan base than the Parramatta Reels. It's been so long since they won a comp. And when they're getting knocked off 41-8 by a side, and you look at those two rosters at the start of the season, right? If you were a coach, who would you rather be coaching, Parramatta or Canberra? Parramatta, on paper, have a clearly superior roster to the Raiders, but Ricky got them up last night, recovered from a couple of poor weeks, and,
you could say that too, Buzz. You could say that about the Roosters.
The best roster.
Like the Roosters, their roster is better than most. I had the Roosters playing a grand final. They've won the same amount of games as
Power.
The Eels, yeah.
No, you're 100% right. 100% right.
What did you make of the bunker over the weekend, Buzz? Because I'm still shaking my head.
Do you really have to bring that up?
I was, and again, I was in an establishment on Saturday, and I looked up and I saw a drop ball, a knock on from a Manly player. I thought, the bunker will override this. And I was
stunned.
The Manly
players didn't even chase. They waited back there for the knock on. All the Manly, you have a look how much backup the centre had.
Hmm.
But you know who made that decision? Grant Atkins. You know Grant Atkins is the number one video reviewer? He does Origin and Grand Finals all the time.
Victor
Radley sin bin? That was a bunker decision. Todd Smith. I'm going to name all these guys so I go through them. Todd Smith. How on earth was that a sin bin, Victor Radley? What was he supposed to do? It was nothing like a hip drop tackle. Terrible decision. And there's no excuse when they've got all those screens and all that technology, all those replays. There's no excuse. And tell me this, how was Latrell left on the field for a forearm to the head of an opponent? Grade 2 dangerous contact. Ashley Klein on this occasion. Why wasn't the referee told, get him off, 10 minutes at least?
I totally agree with you there, mate. I couldn't believe he stayed on the field. I couldn't, if that, and I know we say it all the time about decisions, grand finals, but if that Manly one was at a grand final, mate, you'd be howling the joint down.
I'm happy with Dom Young getting sent off. I think they got that one right. But why wasn't Jerome Luai for an identical tackle as Bulldogs written about in his column today in the early, was it round one? Shouldn't be that hard up there. You know, we blow up all the time about obstructions and the Hargreaves-Edwards collision, but these ones are so simple to us on our couches at home. You know? And they've got better facilities than we have. Anyway, move on. What are we talking?
James Tedesco. Gee, it was a nasty concussion, wasn't it, when he came to contact with Viliami Kikau on Friday night?
Yeah, 10th bad concussion of his career, mate, and of obvious concern. I saw Peter Fitzsimons in the Herald, I think, was a little bit over the top, calling on him to retire. Look, I went to Nathan Gibbs on Saturday, probably Australia's most experienced sports medico, and look, Nathan Gibbs said there's no magic number you know, if you have 8 concussions, you know, do you tie 10, 12? There is no number. And he's been overseas, Europe, America, to conferences where the world-leading experts talk on these sort of issues. He says it's all up to individual players, their recovery. Tedesco told the media on Saturday that he woke up, he feels fine. Such a brave bugger, this guy. I still can't, you know, remember the Sivo tackle up at Combank Stadium? Mm. And Kikau was just slaughtering that the Roosters on that right edge the other day, and he just puts his head in areas where footballers not as brave as him won't do it, you know. And
geez, look, he went in at a million miles an hour too, Teddy. Like,
oh, Teddy's a freak with courage, mate. Absolute freak. And look, what concerns me and all other viewers on TV is that he's just become a father for the first time. He's a young dad, and no one. But look, the Roosters are very, very good professional on concussion, as you saw with Boyd Cordon and Jake Friend when their careers were terminated early, and I'm sure they won't let Teddy play again if there's any risk whatsoever.
Buzz, this is going to be a big story this week. Michael Jennings was activated as the 18th man in that Roosters loss to the Bulldogs, which was game 299 in his NRL career. He's due to play, you'd imagine, game 300 this week in Newcastle on Thursday night, just given all the injuries and concussions to the Roosters' backline. What do you think the NRL should do, given his recent history, not only with the drug suspension, but the civil case that involved his ex-wife that was settled in the court a couple of years ago?
Well, yeah, look, I'm really worked up about this one, and I've written an open letter to Andrew Abdo today urging him not to go to Newcastle to present the 300-game ball to Michael Jennings, as he does with other footballers who reach that milestone. Has nothing to do with the drug suspension. He did his time, did the crime, served his time, and he's on that basis, he's back in the NRL. However, there is a massive, massive integrity issue here around a civil court case in 2021 where he was found guilty of sexually assaulting his ex-wife, Kira Wilden, not once, but 4 times. He appealed, which is his right, but lost. A second court held up the decision. Jennings was ordered to pay his ex-partner, who had to give up work. She was so shattered by, you know, what had happened. He was ordered to pay his ex-wife $500,000 in damages. He has not paid back 1 cent of that money. And this is a disgraceful look for all women in rugby league. If Andrew Abdo travels up the highway and presents the game ball to him under these circumstances. I'm different with people like Curtis Scott. People will say, oh, what about Curtis Scott? Curtis Scott, for his domestic violence, was given a 12-month community correction order, which he served. So he's done his time. Michael Jennings has not done what the court told him to do. I've read all the court evidence. It is quite horrific, and I feel really, really sick about the NRL being in Newcastle to honour his 300th game. It's just personal opinion, but that's the way I feel.
Buzz, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Enjoy
Thanks,
the week.
Thanks, guys. Cheers now. Bye.